Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We just thank you for the rain that you've been giving us. We just ask that you prepare our hearts to hear your word and to apply it to our lives. We just ask that you be a prayer request for mention this morning, brothers and sisters around the world. Just help us all to be mindful of you and to do your will. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, so I think we're at, I think we're at 78. Is that right? You did 77 last week, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so we're on Psalm 78, 79 in King James. All right. Says a psalm for Asaph. O God, the nations entered your inheritance. They defiled your holy temple. They left Jerusalem in ruins. They left dead bodies of your servants as food for the birds of heaven, the flesh of your saints for the wild animals of the earth. Their blood flowed like water around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We were made a disgrace to our neighbors, a scorn and a mockery to those around us. How long, O Lord, will you be angry to the end? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that did not call upon your name. For they devoured Jacob, and made his dwelling place desolate. Do not remember our transgressions of old. Let your mercies quickly overtake us, for we have become very poor. Help us, O God, our Savior. Because of the glory of your name, O Lord, save us. And be merciful to our sins because of your name. Let the nations never say, where is their God? And let it be known among the nations before our eyes. There is vengeance for the shed blood of your servants. Let the groaning of those in prison enter before you according to the greatness of your arm. Preserve the sons of those who were killed. Repay our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom, their reproach by which they reviled you, O Lord. For we are your people, and the sheep of your pasture. We shall give thanks to you freely and openly forever. From generation to generation, we will proclaim your praise. Okay, so it's kind of talking about just, it's almost like he's talking about maybe a time when the Israelites did something God didn't like, and he allowed another kingdom to come and destroy them and take them captive because they weren't obeying God anymore. I don't know if it's really specifically talking about one certain time, but except for maybe down here in the first verse, it says they left Jerusalem in ruins, and that only happened after Jesus had came, and there, I don't know exactly the year, but they destroyed Jerusalem completely and just left it in ruins. And that's in the front, so maybe that's talking about the whole time there. Just kind of a prophecy of what's going to happen to Jerusalem because the people have fallen away from God. It just kind of goes and it says their blood flowed like water around Jerusalem and there was no one to bury them. Talks about the saints were left out in the open unburied, and in the books and history we read about Jerusalem when it was destroyed, it says the blood just flowed in the streets like water, and then they destroyed it completely. And it says down here, we pray our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom. And I don't know anything about that, but it just talks about, I don't really have too much because I didn't study, because I forgot. But anyway, do you have any questions about that? guess we'll get up and do your memory work. What were you supposed to do this week?
A verse or a story about forgiveness.
Okay. Well, we'll start with you, Roger, and just come up and say your verse or whatever you got.
The Anabaptist named Polycarp forgave the people that killed him. Peter Miller was at Ephrata Cloister, and he translated the Martyr's Mirror, and there he didn't want to fight for the British, and so a British spy got really mad at him and cursed him and said terrible stuff about him, and one day George Washington caught that spy, and he was going to get hung, and Peter Miller traveled 3 days through the snow to get, and he got there just in time and gave a ransom or whatever for him, so that
a pardon,
yeah, so that he didn't have to get killed, get hung.
One time there was a soldier in war, and he didn't wanna fight, and the others wanted him to, and so they got mad, and they broke his jaw, and he had to have his jaw wired up, but still he could pray out loud to God and ask God to save him.
There was a man who had tanned some hides that he was going to sell the next day. And then there's another man who had not much money in a family, and he needed money, so he stole the one man's hides. And then the man who had tanned the hides found out who stole them, and he forgave the thief and helped him become a better man.
There were some people, they moved to a farm, and then at the end of the year, they had lots of food can. And then in the night, and they woke up, and it was the first known, they saw tracks going away from the house, but didn't start from there, and wheelbarrow tracks. And then they checked the basement, and there's nothing in there. And then they found out who the man was, and they forgave him, and then in the end, people gave him lots of more than they had before.
Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Okay. So next week, let's come. I want you to tell us something about you that maybe sometimes somebody forgave you for something that you did, like maybe you broke one of your brother's toys and he forgave you, or something like that. Just have a story about when you had to ask for forgiveness, or when somebody forgave you. And same for the older boys, I guess. You're dismissed.
I read a story about a man one time. And there's this boy's dad died, and he went, and he wanted to go trapping in the winter, and he borrowed money from the governor, and the governor loaned him how much he ever needed and a couple extra. And he'd go, and this guy taught him and bought all the stuff and everything he needed, and on the way back he said, when you come to a river, cut two trees down so it won't roll. And he was almost home, and he didn't want to cut two down, so he cut one, and the tree rolled, and he lost all his furs and everything he owned, and he went to the governor. And the governor forgave him and gave him money for the next year.
I had verse 1 Peter chapter 2:19-20. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and you are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it patiently, endure it this finds favor with God.
James 5, 7 through 11. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful.
1 Peter 2:20. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience, but if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God.
Jesus patiently endured on the cross, even if he hadn't done anything wrong. And then he forgave the people that crucified him.
1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Then I got a story about endurance. There's this wagon train traveling from Council Bluffs going to California, and they had to cross the mountains, and they got to the mountains, and it was getting to be winter, and they left the six wagons at a Y in a river, and they had to go one way up the mountains, and some other people went up another way, and this young man and these two older men stayed at this cabin and by the wagons in the fork of the river to keep them safe from the Indians during the winter. And then the two older men left because they thought they were going to die there during the winter. And then the younger one stayed back with the wagons, and he had to found some traps, and he had to live on fox meat that winter, but he had to endure it. It was pretty tough.
Moses, when he's leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, he had a pretty hard job, and they grumbled and complained, and he just endured it and just stuck the job that God gave him until he got into the promised land.
I have a couple of verses in 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we are dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And if we deny him, he shall also deny us. If we're Christians, we're all going to have something to suffer through.
There's this guy that he went to the ruler, and he was in debt with him, and the guy said if he didn't pay, he'd throw him in jail, and he couldn't redo it, and he went back, he couldn't pay it back, so he didn't earn no money. He went back, and the guy forgave his debt, and then he went out and started remembering people that owed him money, and went out, and if they couldn't pay it, he'd throw them in jail. And it just, the guy that forgave his debt was just forgave him